Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today we are talking to someone who has ran 45 of them. Chrissy did not start as a marathoner, though. She started as a self-proclaimed non-athlete in her early 20s who downloaded Couch to 5K in a Florida summer just to try something new. One 5K turned into a 10K she signed up for as an excuse to skip after work plans, which then turned into a Disney half marathon, and then eventually turned into registering for her second marathon before she had even run her first. Her first was in Richmond in 2011, and it had everything. A neon shirt with her full name on it, a giant fuel belt, headwinds, dead headphones at mile 14, a secret sub-4 goal, and the moment thinking she missed it only to find out later that she ended up running a 3:59. This episode is about how you become a runner almost by accident, what keeps someone coming back to 26.2 over and over again, and why sometimes the biggest win is just getting to the start line. Without further ado, let's jump right in. Please welcome Chrissy. Chrissy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm excited to break down. You have ran 45 marathons, which is absolutely insane. And I'm excited to kind of hear about your first marathon to start, but then kind of how the journey is taking you from there. But first, before we get started, just thank you so much for coming on.
I'm so excited. I'm glad. I'm so excited to talk to you. It's awesome. Going to be a fun time.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it. Very cool. Well, you know how the show starts. Let's start from the beginning. How did movement start for you? How did we get into this running world?
So it's funny because so many times I've listened to your show, and when I hear people talking about it, I'm like, what would I say if I was on the show? And then finally I was like, I think I should go on her show. So yeah. For me, it really was about like movement. It was like, I just wanted to do something that was active, something. I was not an athlete when I was growing up, like in elementary school, middle school, high school. I was like so into so many other nerdy pursuits and things that were not to do with athletics. But, you know, I was like in my early 20s and I'm like, you know, I should find something that I like doing that I will want to continue to do. And I was like, you know, training for a 5K sounds fun. Maybe I'll try that. I was living in Florida, so maybe not the best idea to try this like in the middle of the summer, but that's what I did. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I downloaded the Couch to 5K app, and it was kind of from there, like a kind of like a monster unleashed, I guess.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a one and done. No, obviously not.
Yeah. What was it about, like the first 5K or training for your first 5K that like really got you hooked?
I'm a recovering type A. So at the time I was like, oh, I love an idea of like a plan and checking off boxes. This sounds great.
Yeah.
I don't have to like rely on someone else because like in PE and stuff like team sports, they didn't appeal to me because I'm like, I'm going to let people down. I'm not like hand-eye coordination. I'm like, this is something that I can do. And like, no one's going to judge me because I'm just doing it on my own.
Yeah.
And, it was 2010. So it was before like really like social media was around. So I didn't know anyone else that was doing it. I was just like, I'll just give this a try. And if it fails, no one will ever know.
Yeah. And I do think that's kind of beautiful. I love the stories of the pre-social media running like boom, because it's like, it's so much less pressure. You have nothing to compare it to. It's just like, I'm just going to go out and like see what happens. I love how the win stories start like that. How'd you progress from there? Clearly you got the bug and you ran several things since. So were you like 10K then half marathon, or what were you thinking after you finished that first 5K?
So it's really funny because I did that 5K and like, I remember when I first heard 5K, that sounded very daunting. I found out like how many miles it was. It, you know, I was like, okay, 3 miles. That sounds really far, but you know, I worked up to it. I was doing like the walk run at the time, but on race day, I don't know what it is. No one told me this. Like we just said, like there's not like there wasn't like someone for me to see what someone else was doing. But I was like, in my mind, I'm like, you can't walk. In a 5K, yeah. I'm like, they will like make me leave. Like I'll be the last one, you know? So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna run. I didn't have a time goal because I didn't know what a time goal was.
Right.
So I'm like, maybe like, okay, 3 miles, I should finish in like half an hour to 45 minutes. That sounds reasonable. But then I ran 27 minutes, which was like insane to me. I was like, oh, because I think I had just like a Timex, you know, I didn't have like a GPS watch or anything like that. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to keep going with this 5K thing. I ended up doing a 10K because shortly after that first 5K, we moved up to Northern Virginia. Mm. And I was in a new office. everyone was like really cool, fun people to hang out with, like early 20s, like let's go out after work kind of people. And I had like this social anxiety that I was like, okay, I don't know if I'm ready to like take it out of the office to like, you know, hang out and have fun. So I'm like, I made up this the most bizarre excuse. And I was like, oh, I can't go out tonight because I have a race tomorrow. And I like was on my computer, like what races are going on tomorrow morning?
Oh my gosh. I love that.
It was a 10K. And I was like, oh, I'm like, I'm running a 10K, guys. Like, and they're like,
sorry,
oh, wow.
Can't. That's so
I like
funny.
Bullied myself into my first 10K.
I love that. That's so funny. So you got there. And then how did it go? How'd the 10K go?
It went great. Like, it was in DC. So it was just like, obviously, like, the vibes were really great. It was like one of those like charity events. So everyone that was there was just like really happy to be there. Everyone was like really encouraging. And I was like, oh, maybe I could kind of keep going with this. And as things would have it, I don't know, like, we were up in Virginia, but I was previously when we were in Florida, it was because I worked at Disney. And I was like, well, I want to keep going back to Disney like periodically. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll do like one of those Disney races, you know, because when I worked at Disney, I had worked like during the day when they were happening. I saw people do them. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll try to do that. And I was thinking, I love Disneyland in California. So I was like, okay, I'm going to sign up for the Disneyland half marathon when that comes up. And I thought that sounded super reasonable. I looked up like when the registration would happen.
Yeah.
And it was in September. And like, it was like, I was like, oh, I have a year. Like, this is perfect. You know,
yeah.
Like, that sounds like a good amount of time. But then I like told this plan to like one of my friends who had done a Disney race. And they're like, well, you know, there's one in January at Disney World. And if you run one there and then you run a second one, you can get this coast to coast medal. And that's when it is.
That's a good friend. Yeah, we love those friends.
So that's how I got wrapped into doing my first half marathon.
Do you feel like at that point, so after the first 5K, you were like, okay, I'd love to keep doing this. But once you ran that first half marathon, did you feel like you really had the bug? Like running was a part of your personality. You couldn't, you know, you were thinking about other races that you would run, you know.
Yeah,
is that
absolutely.
Where that happened for you?
Yeah. It was like, you know, previously when I saw people running them, I thought like, you know, back then I'm like, okay, I had in my mind who a runner was. And I'm like, well, that's not me. I'm just a person that is here doing the race, you know? But then when you're in the half marathon and you just see like different ages, different skill levels, like you're like, oh, like I can belong here. This is cool. Like, why not me? I ran a good time. Like I was happy about it. Had, you know, I was able to enjoy the race, but then also enjoy the vacation, which is important as well.
Of course. Yeah. And how was it running in Disney after like working there for a long time? I'm sure that was a different experience.
Yeah, it was really fun. Like I really enjoyed it. Like it's funny because so many people, when they talk about like the races at Walt Disney World, they're like, well, you know, you're through the whole property, but there's a lot of like boring parts. You're not in the parks. And I'm like, no, those are like the parks that like I remember driving down these streets doing different things for work and things like that. And it was very like nostalgic and it felt very comfortable for me. So I really liked that part of it.
Yeah. Very cool. I love it. All right. So how did we progress from there? Was it a string of half marathons? Were you thinking marathon? What was kind of next step for you?
Got a bug in my head. After that first half, I was like, well, I'm obviously doing my next half at Disneyland. Like that is a done
logical
deal.
Next choice. Yeah, of course.
And by this point, we had moved from Northern Virginia to Charlottesville, Virginia. So we were in Central Virginia. And I was just like looking at like kind of like different plans on the internet, looking at like I checked out books from the library. Like this makes me sound like 3,000 years old. But like I think I found like a Hal Higdon book at the library. And I'm like, oh, okay. I really want to like have a really good base before I go into like the actual half marathon training. Cause I want to PR on my next half marathon because I'm like, okay, I know where I'm at. Like what's realistic for my next one. And then when I realized that I'm going to be training through the summer in Virginia, as you know, you're out there in the mid-Atlantic. It gets so hot and humid.
Hot.
I'm like, if I'm going to be doing this, like maybe I should like double up and like have another event in mind, you know?
Yeah.
And I went to like the running store in town and I like kind of mentioned it and they're like, well, a lot of people train for the Richmond Marathon. like here, and maybe you can find people to run with. And I'm like, I don't want to run a marathon. That sounds awful. Like, I'm training for a half. And they're like, yeah, well, like you could do some long runs. And they really convinced me that, and I believe this too, when you're training for a half, a lot of races say like, you know, go up to like 10 miles, go up to like 11 mm-hmm. miles. But then when I met some other runners in these running groups, they're like, you know, like, you'll actually feel awesome if you do a long run, like a 14 or 15 mile long run. If you could do that before a half,
yeah,
then you physically know that you're going to be able to conquer this. And I was like, huh, you know, and I'm like, I'm really like drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm like, oh, you're right. Let's do some long, long runs.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, so I'm going to commit to training for my first marathon, which was Richmond. So
yeah, love that.
That was going to be November 2011.
Okay, cool. So that was 2011, and you kind of like started your running journey, you said, in like 2010-ish.
2010,
so about
in
a year.
The summer. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So it took a year for you to get to training for your first marathon. When this group that you were, or these people that were kind of pushing you to run these other distances, were you planning on training with them, or they were just the people that kind of pushed you towards like actually signing up for the marathon?
Sure, yeah. So they had like some like running groups, like so you could like kind of see who's doing long runs. So I would do a lot of my like weekday runs by myself because I had like a regular 9-to-5 kind of job. I'd run early in the morning. Like I've always been like a morning runner person.
Yeah.
But long runs, yeah, I'm like, that would be really nice to have someone else to like for the accountability and things like that, especially when on those really hot days.
Like, yeah.
Like, why are we doing this? And like, I would sometimes like, if the mileage didn't match up, I lived in a condo. So like I would do some of it like on the treadmill and the rest of it with the group or something, if they're going to do like 10 or something. And I had to do like 15 or 16, you know, it's split
sure.
it up so I could run some in the air conditioning.
No, I don't blame you. Yeah. It can get brutal. Very cool. And so you had this group that you were kind of training with that were hopefully like helping you along the way as well, which is always, always great, I think, for your first marathon. What sort of plan do you remember following, if any? Like, was it a paper plan? Do you remember like who you got it from, where you got it from? I know 2011 wasn't yesterday necessarily, but
yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if this still exists, but because I think everything's behind a paywall now. But back then, Runner's World had like these plans that you could like go on their website and be like, this is when my race is. And I don't now, like looking back, I'm like, I don't know if this was entirely healthy, but you could put in like, you know, that it's in November, like when you're back in like in the springtime, and it could give you like that long of a plan, like
wow,
several
yeah.
months of plan. And it was like mileage, you know, and like, it wasn't like a whole, like super strict on like your paces and stuff, but it was kind of just like giving you an idea of where you should be before you head into like the harder parts, like with you know, some workouts and stuff like that included with the long runs. But I was like, I think it was really about time on the feet kind of thing. So
yeah,
it worked for me. I don't know if it worked for everybody, but yeah, I just had my little plan. I'd print it out and then wrote in my calendar, like my little planner, and like, literally, I draw boxes. I'm like, check off the box.
Well,
yes.
The type A in you was coming out for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like, I remember just feeling like really happy, like when I'd have, like, I had the race, like my half marathon plugged into when that was happening. I did like a few, like local 5K, 10K, you know, just to see where I was at, that kind of thing. So it was kind of nice to like have those check-ins.
Totally. Yeah. Cool. And then what do you remember as like the highlight runs for you, either in like a positive or a negative way? What runs do you remember standing out to you?
Oh my gosh. So many of like my middle distance runs really stood out to me because I was still new to Charlottesville, mm-hmm. you know, and when you move to a new town, you know, you're used to like majority of the population. It's like driving around, going to the things that, you know, are your everyday, your job, your grocery store, you know, stuff like that. But
yeah.
running like got me to actually know where things were and like in my mind put it together, because I am so bad with directions like in life. it really helped me. And like, I didn't have like a great grasp of like how far away things were. Cause it, you know, when you ask someone in a small town, where is this? They're like, oh, it's 5 minutes away. I'm like, but where?
But what, which direction? And give me every single turn. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I was like, oh, this was nice. I could see like the association of where things were, and like really like it helped me understand just the town better. And just, you know, when I then would find out like where some of the other people lived, I'm like, okay, I can associate that. Like the University of Virginia campus is right there. So, you know, I would know like kind of like where the different buildings were, because some of the people in our group were younger and in college, you know, and so they were, you know, they'd be like, oh, meet me at blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know where that is.
Yeah.
So I'd have to figure it out. So it was kind of fun to be able to do that.
It is a great way to explore like a new city that you're just visiting, or like you said, like somewhere that you move. I know that like we've lived in this, my fiance and I have lived in the same town for, you know, the last 3 years or so, but I'll throw out a street name that I know because I ran on it. And he's like, how do you know where that is? I'm like, because I'm on foot and I know where my little turns are. It definitely is super helpful for like a sense of direction, I think, when you're getting to know a city for sure.
For sure. And it's so funny that you said that, because I was just thinking of that, like before I ran, like when I drive somewhere in like a GPS would be like in a quarter mile. I'm like, I don't what quarter mile. What?
What's a quarter mile? Yeah.
But now it's like, if I see it, I'm like, oh yeah. Like how long would it take me to run that little quarter mile?
Yeah, right. Right. It's so true. You start to think everything in like running terms. It's definitely true. So yeah. So the middle distance runs were standing out to you. How were we feeling like as we were getting further and further down the plan? Like was the race, you know, kind of looming over you? Were you nervous about it? Were you excited about it? Like once you got to maybe like the 17, 18, 19, where you're getting really close to race day.
Sure. So I think, and again, I just feel like this is like so much of my like first marathon stuff is kind of cautionary tale, but kind of like sometimes you just got to put yourself out there. Like,
yeah,
I think a lot of people get nervous about race day, but for me, like I said, I was meeting people through the running store and like the running groups. And through that, I met some people that were training with team and training for Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were like, well, our goal race is Shamrock in the spring. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And they're like, do you want to sign up? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't even done my first one yet. And they're like, you know, I'm like, I like running at Virginia Beach. I've done a few races out there. And they're like, well, you should sign up. Like, and if you sign up before the holidays, then you have better chance of fundraising. And I'm like, that is true. So before I even ran my first one, I was registered for my second marathon.
There we go.
So it kind of like took the pressure off in a weird way. Cause I'm like, well, I know that I'm going to do another one already.
Yeah.
Like, so many people, I think when they reach the finish line of their first marathon, they're like, are you going to do another one? And everyone's like, no, never again. And then, you know,
right.
That amnesia changes. And, you know, like a few days later goes really one way or the other. But yeah, but like knowing like that actually like really reassured me, because I'm like whatever happens in the first one, like just getting to the start line, like I wasn't even thinking of the finish line at that point. I'm like getting there and like proving to myself that I could like get to the start line. Like I was like, that's going to be a win. And then the race will be fun. It might be hard and challenging, but the finish will be cool, but it's going to be one of many. So I already was like in that mindset.
Yeah. I love that. That actually probably like helped subconsciously probably helped you out a ton. Just like, yeah, taking the pressure off and focusing on just getting to the start line. Like you said, I think that sometimes that's the hardest line to get to. Once you're in the race, you like, there's nothing left to do than just run the race. But yeah,
exactly.
Getting to the start line, happy and healthy and in a good mindset, I think is always a challenge for people for their first. So that might've been a blessing in disguise. And then Richmond, I'm trying to think. So Richmond is in November. Mm-hmm. I would think it was still in November. Yeah. And then in the spring, so Shamrock was like March, April-ish?
Yeah, March around the St. Patrick's Day. Yeah.
Cool. So you would have had to, and well, obviously we're skipping ahead a little bit, but like you would have had to detrain a little bit and then rebuild mm-hmm. again for the Shamrock. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Taking it back to Richmond. Taper. Let's talk about taper. What was your first taper experience like?
It was because I was kind of like running like at a like not a like a pretty medium volume. I think we probably hit the highest was probably like 40 miles or something. You know, it was like a lot for like a normal person, but like enough, like it was not like intimidating. I wasn't like totally burnt out, but like being able to drop down, like that was really nice to me. I liked it. I was like, okay, oh yeah, I remember what it's like to live like not training for a marathon, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't get the negatives on that first one. Like later, maybe some other ones were a little different, but it was kind of nice, especially like, cause it was in November. Like it was, you know, the temperature is dropping and stuff. You want to be more cozy at home. I'm like, okay, I forced myself to relax a little bit. This is fine. And I'll feel better. I know that I'll feel better on race day because of that. So that helped.
Got it. Yeah, cool. And then so we're getting through taper. We're getting closer to race day. You said that you were already living in Virginia. Did you have to travel into Richmond at all? How close like logistically was it to you at the time?
It was like it was only like an hour and a half drive, like
Okay.
not so bad. We did get a hotel because I am always the proponent of like staying as close as you can to that start line. Like
Yeah.
that is, I don't like I understand that you can do these things more frugally. You know, it is nice. Like it is nice to sleep in your own bed. You know, for some races, but I was like, no,
Yeah.
I need to like be there. I don't want to be in a traffic jam and miss the start. You know, so we were like right there near the start line, which was nice. And the race, if I recall, was on a Saturday. So I
Yeah.
remember like wor I like worked, you know, on Friday and then was
Yeah.
like, okay, when the day's over, we're gonna drive up there, get something to eat, which is my foreboding thing. I should have planned what we were gonna eat. That's probably one of my mistakes that I made. But then, you know, go to the expo, have enough time to do all that stuff and do the race on Saturday.
Got it. Okay, cool. And then before we talk about the race, I haven't asked you about like fueling or anything like that. Like, did you have a plan going in for how you were going to fuel through the race?
So, looking back, I think it was actually better than what I could imagine, because between that time and more recent times, there's been some marathons that I did not have a great plan. But I think the first one I did have a at least like a good idea because I like was ordering like goo by the case,
Oh,
and
sure.
I knew like how many I would need to have with me, and I was like that like really nerdy like the tool belt kind of runner at the time, you
Yeah.
know, and I had like
Yeah.
multiple water bottles, the little pockets for the little goos. So I
Yeah.
had that all, and I didn't have a GPS watch, but I had a watch that was like at least like time distance. So I'm like, okay, I need to, I think I brought like four gels or something like that at the time. And I was like, okay, as long as I remember to take all of them, you know?
Then I'll be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Do you remember if you had any sort of like, so you had all your gels planned out. Were you planning on, did you have like, I'm going to take them every 30 minutes or every 3 miles or every 4 miles? Did you like have a plan in terms of like strategy there?
I think at the time it was more like a distance thing. I'm like, if I can see the mile markers, like I'm like, I think I'll just like break it up into like, you know, like the first like the 10K, the you know, like around an
Yeah.
hour-ish, you know, because I know that every and I tell this to people all the time, like you should not have a time goal for your first marathon. Like it's just
Yeah.
it's not the best idea, but like most people I think also have a secret time goal, right?
Yeah,
So
sure.
I was like, I would love to finish. I would love to have my first BF sub 4 because all my training lined up for it. Like, and I also told myself, I'm like, but if I don't, I already have the next one. You know,
Yeah, you got another
I
shot.
already have another chance. So I was like, okay, 4 hours. So I'm like, every 4 hours, four gels, just get them done before BF. You know, it was not like super strict, but I'm like, I don't need to have, if I have any still at the finish line, like I made a mistake. So just make sure you
Sure.
take them.
Sure. One way or the other, everything needs to be updated. Yeah, I get that. Okay, cool. Well, let's talk about the race. So, I'll let you kind of take over like what race morning looked like, how you were feeling, all that good stuff.
Okay, yeah. So, like I said, we were staying super close to the start, which was awesome because I'm like, I tend to be like an early wake up person anyway. I'm a chronically early person, but I'm like, I don't need to do that. Like, I'm like, this is the time and like work backwards. How much
Yeah.
time do I need in the morning? Had my little bagel in the room. We got like the weirdest room, like regular hotel room size. You know, if it was this, like ours was like, bam, like the bed was like in the little corner. Like, I should send you a picture because it's hilarious. Like, I look like I'm in like an auditorium. Like the room is so big. I don't know if it's like an accessible room they gave me or something like
Oh,
that,
yeah.
but it was a giant room. But they had the cutest little swag for this race. They had like the door hangers to put on your door, and it says like, shh, like I'm running the marathon tomorrow. And it
Oh, I
was
love that.
really, really cute. Like, so I, you know, got ready, was like making my little bagel. I'm eating it, like taking a little picture of me in my little race outfit. I wrote my name on my shirt. I was like super excited. I don't, for whatever reason, I put my first and last name. I'm like,
Just to make sure,
not
just
really
in case
sure why I
now you
did
are.
that, but I'm like, okay. I remember it was like neon. It was like a neon yellow shirt, and my like
Yeah.
the name was like in zebra letters, like zebra print, and I had like a
Love.
pink like skirt, like a running skirt that was a thing at the time.
This is screaming very 2011 to me.
Very,
This
it's so 2011 coded. Like I had like
I
my
love it.
compression socks, like
Yeah.
they were this Saucony Ride 4.
So love. So
that was the first shoe I was fitted in. You know, I was like, okay, I'm good to go. I got my little race outfit. I had my like Adidas hat. You know, I was so excited with my big giant belt. Yeah. And, you know, like making sure the bibs pinned on correctly and all that good stuff. You know, went to the start. I was like so excited. You know, it was just like the vibes were so good. The temperature was like perfect. I think it was like in like the low 50s. It was like a little bit overcast, you know, and I was like, okay, this I'm good with this. Like, this is perfect for me. I'm like, you know, and, you know, they're playing music at the start, and I was just ready to go. I recall this, and I should look up what the model was. Like, at the time, like, we were talking about our 2011 memories. I had one in like a, I don't know, must have been on Facebook, because I did have an Instagram, but I don't think there was a lot of Instagram stuff happening. Won, like, you know how like Aftershocks, oh, now Shocks, how Shocks look now, but it was like a Sony player that the MP3 player was inside.
Stop. So funny.
So it was not connected to like your phone. So like
that's high-end technology for 2011.
It was like really, you know, I was like, oh, look at me. I'm a like futuristic.
Yeah, they're ahead of, you're ahead of the time.
Because previously to that, like my first half, like the cords were everywhere, right? I'm like running and the cords hitting me in the face. And I'm like, oh, look at me. I'm like streamlined. I'm ready to go with my playlist. Like, I think I made my playlist for like 4 hours, 10 minutes. And I'm like, as long as they don't hear a song repeat, then I'm good to go. You know, I like made sure it was all on and ready to go. You also need to make sure that it's charged.
So. Yes, very important.
This is, I guess it's going to be like about 51-52% of your audience can relate to this. Last night, the night before the race, I found out I had my period. So I was like, awesome. But I prepared I've done long runs with this. It'll be fine. Yeah. I'm okay. I'm wearing a pink skirt, not a white one. Like it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yes, the race started good. I'm like, okay, just remember like, slow start, like that's fine. It was hard because I was so excited, but I'm like, okay, just rein it in, you know, like you should be around like 9:30. Like run 9:30. That's good. And I did really well till like 10 or 11. And then I had to go to the bathroom and I'm like, okay, that's fine. I have all my stuff. And then it got windy. And I was like, oh, some people don't like running in the rain. Some people don't like, you know, like really hot humidity. Like I can handle that, but like the wind, that's my nemesis. Like I'm like, okay, this wind. Okay, I'm just gonna ignore it. Like I'm just gonna pretend it's not bothering me. And I'm like, it's really bothering me. It's really,
yeah.
You know, I was like, the temperature was still good, but the wind was making it cold. You know, so like you were sweaty and then cold. I'm like, I hate that.
Yeah, I don't like that feeling. Were you like, was it face like coming at you or behind
you?
Right in your face. Oh, yeah, that's the worst.
And I was
the worst.
But I had sunglasses, so I'm like, okay, if they take a picture of me, I won't look how I feel. I'm like, okay, I'm running, I'm good. And then I don't know the name of the bridge, but it was at mile 14. You cross like a pretty big bridge in Richmond. Mm-hmm. And my headphones stopped working. And I was like, oh, well, that's unfortunate. But I'm like, but what can I do? Nothing. Like, okay. So I do this thing. I don't know if you're familiar with the band Girl Talk.
But Yes.
So in my mind, I'm like, I'm just going to think of the last how many songs that played. And then I'm just going to loop them. I'm just going to loop them in my head. And they're going to be like the weirdest mashup ever. So I'm like, okay. And I'm like kind of mouthing the words. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to vibe with my music that's playing in my head. So I'm running. It's okay. It's okay. And like, I speed up because I'm like, this music sucks. Like, this is, like, who ordered this mix? This is so bad.
Like, oh okay. My gosh.
Like the quicker, you know, and often like when I had like a harder long run or whatever, my advice would always be like, the quicker you run, the quicker you're done. And I'm like, let's just go. Like, I don't care what the pace is anymore. Just go. And I think I picked up the pace pretty well to like mile 22, 23. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to finish this. Like, I was like, I'm so tired. And I like took my last gel around then, which was late, obviously, if it was that far, but I took it. I think a pace, pace group past me. I don't remember what pace it was, but they were like one of the really awesome ones, but they were like, hey, you're looking great. Let's go. And I'm like, thanks for lying to me. And I'm giving them a thumbs up. And they were just like, they were like, you can do it. And I'm like, yeah, I can. I don't know
it's
how well,
good, but yeah,
I'm going to do it. And it's, you know, in downtown Richmond, there's kind of like a little up and down going on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I can walk up anytime I see something too steep. It's fine. And then I'll run when it goes down. And I'm like, okay, that's my new thing for the next few miles. Just run. You can like do this cycle. And that works pretty well. And then I know that they've changed the course since then, and now it ends closer to the river. But at the time, and it still has a downhill finish. But I'm like, when I get to that downhill finish, like, I don't care if I like roll down, like it'll be okay. Like I'm just gonna like go for
it. You just
have
to get there and like gravity go, yeah.
And you know, I just keep going. I had to walk. I like run, walk, and I like wasn't upset about it. Like I think previously to that day, I'm like, I'll be so mad if I walk in my first marathon. Then I'm like, why?
Like, yeah, all that goes out the window when you hit the wall at like mile 21. It's like your ego, your goal. It's like, I'm going to crawl there if I need to crawl there. Yeah.
And so at Richmond, it's like their tagline is friendliest marathon. And I totally agreed with it because like at the expo, everyone was super nice. Like during the race, people were super nice. Everyone was courteous. Like everyone was just like chill and happy to be there. And I remember like mile like 25, you could hear the finish line, like people just cheering and like music. And I'm like, I just need to get there. If I get there, then it's just going to be like a party. And I'm like, okay. And I see like the finish line. I see like this downhill. I see like a lot of times when you run marathons, you see kind of people that you had been kind of like ping ponging with a little bit near the end if you had had a challenging race. And I remember seeing like a guy and he was like, are you good? You good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And he's like, are we going to like send it up here? I'm like, yes, we're gonna do. He's like really fast, like how fast are we? I'm like, we're just gonna go. And he's like, oh yeah, we can do that. And I remember seeing the finish and I'm like, let's go. And like, I don't have a finish line photo, which is my one regret. Like they had some photos like leading up to it, but like you could see both of us being like, this crazy look on our face, like, we're almost there, you know, and we did it. And we, like, gave each other a high five at the finish, you know, and it was so much fun. And it didn't sink into me what the time was. Like, I looked at my watch, like, the last few miles, but I'm like, I'm still good, you know, like, with my time goal still kind of, like, there. But then I crossed the finish, and I thought that I didn't reach my goal because, you know, it was my first marathon. I didn't realize, like, gun time. Chip time. Because I was like, different. It was like 4 hours something. I'm like, oh, around 4 hours. That's cool. But then, you know, then I get the official results, and it was like 3:59 something. I'm like,
dang.
Okay. I did.
There we go. Yeah.
It was so awesome. And it was just so great. And you know, we went to like breakfast afterward in some like little cafe in Richmond. And I love Richmond. It's just such a fun place.
So
like, Virginia in general, I just loved running there. So that was super cool. Very, very cool.
Love it. I love it. So, I mean, you had all the trials and tribulations for sure. I mean, it doesn't sound like anything went majorly wrong, but the music went out, like the, you hit the wall for sure. You know, you saw a pace group, you know, so all in all though, it sounds like you were able to cross the finish line and feel positive about the experience, would you say?
Yeah, I felt so great. And like the first time it doesn't get old when you're like kind of like hobbling and someone puts that heat sheet on you and you're like, yeah, I just did
that. I did that.
It was awesome. It was like such a cool moment because like it's weird. Like I kind of like vacillate sometimes between like underconfidence and like overconfidence. I'm never like medium confidence because I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it, you know, but then you have like a little second, I don't know, am I going to do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you actually accomplish it, you're like, yeah, of course I did it.
Yeah, you're like, I had no doubt in my mind. You doubted yourself for like 4 miles right before that. Yeah.
100%. It's like very so cool. Mental. It's crazy how much it's in your head.
Totally. Well, very cool. So Richmond, I mean, I just ran Richmond and it was great. I loved it. My quads on fire. I think it was more of a downhill race than I had expected, but Richmond is a great one. I'm glad that was like your first experience that you got to have too. If you are like thinking about your first marathon as a whole, and obviously you've had a lot of marathons since then, so we'll talk about what kind of came up next for you. But what would be a piece of advice you'd offer somebody who's, you know, maybe training for their first marathon right now?
I think the most important thing is to just like remind yourself why you're doing it. Like, I was doing it because it's something that I wanted to do and I think would be fun. Like, I don't think you should ever do something just because like someone told you. That'd be like, which sounds contradictory to like me being peer pressured to stuff, but like, if I really don't want to do something, I'll tell someone, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you hear about something that sounds interesting to you and you can like, you know, figure out like, is this realistic for me, you know, and is this like something that I can commit to? And once you're kind of in that, you know, that mindset, then like, do it, you know, just do it. Like, don't like wait for someone to be like, I don't know, like telling you like, oh, maybe this is not the right time, you know, for you in your life or like the phase of your life or whatever it is. Like, if it's something you want to do and you can like commit fully, then do it. Like, yeah, just do it.
I love
like
it.
The right people
great.
Will encourage you, you know, like
100%.
If there might be haters or, you know, someone that's like, I don't know, like you've only done like A, B, C. It's like, well, you know what? Like, we're capable of doing really amazing things. If it's like your body follows your mind, you know, like,
yeah,
you can do it. You can do it.
Totally. Yeah. With the right like timing and practice and training, like, yeah, you could do literally anything you set your mind to. And I heard a quote a couple weeks ago from somebody that came on the show that she was just like, if you even had like, it's not normal to think about running a marathon. It's not normal to think about having like massive goals. So if you're somebody that even has that thought, you should go for it. Like, yeah, you should do it 100%.
That's as much as there's like negativity on social media, like the huge positive side is like, you will find your people, you know? So you like, yeah. And that's why I think it's so cool. Like, the things that you're like working on is like, you know, just getting like the right people talking to each other, because we don't like, life is short. You don't, if there's something you want to do, you need to be around people that like support that. And I think that's so important.
100%. I love that. Very cool. All right. So you have had several marathons since your first marathon. I know we won't be, I would love to talk about every single one, but I know we won't have time to get through every single one. But if you were to like kind of generalize, you know, what changed for you after that first marathon and some things that you feel like have impacted your journey positively, what are some of those things that kind of come to mind or come up for you?
It took me a while, because that first one was just like such a positive experience that like, delusionally maybe I'm like, well, everyone's gonna be great like from here on, you know, because I can do it, I know how to do it. But obviously there's only so many things you can control, which is like a huge lesson from any distance race that you run. Like, you know, you can control yourself, you control your training, you know, get your nutrition all lined up, but you can't control the weather. You can control the people around you, you know, there's so many circumstances that are beyond your control, so you need to let go a lot of that garbage, you know. So
yeah,
that's a huge thing that I learned, you know, like something might be like rescheduled, something even just like a little bit. Like, you see people sometimes at a race that like, if they have to delay it by like 10 minutes, they like lose their mind.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
they're like this, I'm off of my nutrition, like, you know, I'm supposed to eat like this time, which is great. Like, that's your thing. I'm not gonna say that that's wrong. Everybody has their different paths and different methods, but I think just so much that I've learned from the marathon and then putting back into the marathon, it's like this cycle is like, you can like just do your best and show up knowing that you did the best that you could do in your circumstance, and you're just going to be having to make alterations and things along the way. If you do that, you're not going to be disappointed, you know. My second marathon, which was Shamrock a few months later, after like we did like the reverse taper going back into training.
Yeah.
In my mind, it was going to be easier because it was flat, right? Mm. So running at Virginia Beach, great, flat. Nobody told me that so much of the race you're running on a cambered road. I'm like, flat, sure, but I'm running like this. And my hips,
that's the
you know,
worst. Yeah.
I'm like, feel like I need like an adjustment while I'm running, you know?
Right.
And my coach Liz for team and training, she was so encouraging. Like, when she saw like my first marathon time and I'd been training with her, she's like, we kind of came up with a goal for my second one, which was overly ambitious, but that's just kind of how I rolled. But, you know, I had this time that I wanted to go for. And it got so sunny. It got so windy. Like, my body was, like, rebelling against me with this total slanted road situation. And then when you get to the end, it's, like, so beautiful. So, like, in your mind, you're like, oh, this is ideal. Like, you see the ocean, you know, you see, you know, like, the boardwalk area. But you're, like, your body's, like, you're running on concrete now. You know, after running all that, like, on the pavement, and it hurts. It hurts so bad. And you're just like, oh, why? Whose idea was? Oh, it was my idea.
I signed up for this. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man. You know, and I highly recommend to anyone to, in your marathon journey, if you have a chance to run for a charity, especially like one that has a lot of core support, like Team in Training did. Our coaches were out there, you know, a lot of people were cheering, and, you know, you yell go team anytime you saw anyone else with the, you know, with the little singlet. So that, I mean, that was huge. It was just huge for me. I just really, really enjoyed that. Obviously it's, I learned quickly that fundraising is harder than training. So anyone that like wants to argue with me, like, please try. it's
hard.
It's a lot. But it's so like on race day, you just, when you're running for something more than yourself, you're like, well, all right, like, I could be disappointed, but who cares about me right now? Like, I'm here to do this. You know, I committed, all my friends and family know that I'm doing this, you know, like, I don't mean that in the negative way. It's like, I don't feel like I'm going to disappoint them, but I'm like, I am here, like, representing, like, all of them, like, being excited for this thing that I'm doing. So
yeah,
that is something I would recommend to anyone. But I remember one of the coaches, because it was kind of like a lot of like Central Virginia, like teams were there, like, so people I hadn't trained with before, but they're all part of Team in Training. And I remember one of the coaches, he saw me near the end and he's like, do you want me to run you in? I was like, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he ran with me and I finally got my finish line photo. I got a really, really nice photo that I really loved. And, you know, it was like with arms up, you know, the whole thing, you know. So that was super special. I really love that. I ran a 3:58. I remember being like, I was like, oh, 1 minute PR. Look at me. I'm so amazing. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Any second PR is a PR, you know.
100%. And it was, and it was just, it was such a different experience, but still like super positive. And I'm like, I guess I am a marathoner now, because this is something that I want to continue working on. It just really clicked for me. And I think it's important when you just talk to other runners, like, some people are like, I have no desire to ever do a marathon. I'm like, okay, then don't.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I thought you were going to like tell me to. I'm like, the second you change your mind or like you want to talk about it, like, I'm here. Like, I will talk to you about it. But if it's not something that like drives you, like, why? Like,
yeah,
you want, if you're a 5K-er and you want to run that freaking fast 5K, which is way more intimidating to me than running a full marathon,
totally.
Please be my guest. Do that.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's so true. It's like the marathon, it's always going to be there, right? Like, if it's something that you want to do, it's going to be there when you're ready for it. But I think you're right. Like, going into it before you're ready. Well, not even before you're ready. Like, if going into it before you really want to do it, it's going to be much harder. Yeah. We talk a lot about like having a why. I feel like it's really cheesy, but like having a reason why you want to run a race. It's like when you're in training and things get really hard, you have to have that like thing that you grip onto that you're like, this is why I'm doing it. Otherwise, there's going to feel like there's no point to it. So I 100% agree with you. Like, there's got to be this intrinsic want to run a marathon to do it. For sure.
And I think it's really personal. So,
yes.
You know, each time it can be different, you know, different circumstances in your life. If you're like trying to run like a PR, if you're trying to run a BQ, whatever it is, like, and it needs to be something you want to prove to yourself always. I think that's where it's the most impactful. I have had marathons where I'm like, I thought I would disappoint someone. Like, I thought that like, all these people know I'm going for X time, and if I don't get it, they're going to think I'm a loser or something, you know? But you learn. You're like, literally, no one cares about it as much as you.
So true.
Like, no single person.
It's so true. I love it. Very cool. Well, thank you for walking through your first marathon story and talking to us a little bit about what kind of came up next for you. Before we talk about what races you have come up in the future, I'd love to kind of ask you our fun questions about fuel and shoes. I always give the disclaimer that fuel and shoes is your own journey. So please try everything and anything when it comes to fuel and find out what's best for you. Same thing with shoes. Please go to your local running store and get your feet measured. Try something that works for you. But for you, what have you liked for fuel over time? You said goo originally, but what's how's that changed for you?
Yeah, originally goo, and then I burnt out on goo in 2013. I was training for the Space Coast Marathon because we had moved back to Florida by that point.
Yeah.
And I bought like insane amount of cases of salted caramel goo. And I thought it was like the most delicious thing ever. But after summer of it, I was like, I never want to see this again. So I like tried out some other things at that time. I also had started working as in a role of social media coordinator for Fleet Feet and New Balance store there in Sarasota. Yeah. So I was very lucky because I had the chance to try a lot of stuff. I'm like, I just need to just see what works for me, what like I actually want to carry. Some of these like packaging, you're like, who like came up with this, like this giant thing? Like, where am I supposed to put this, you know?
Right.
So just kind of like working through all of those things. But now I have settled on e-gels. I love them. Like they're,
I don't know if I know e-gels.
Yeah, they're awesome. The Crank Sports.
I'll have to look them up.
They are like my go-to now, and all the flavors are bangers. There's no other brand that I've ever tried that like the variety pack is actually good, because usually there's one that you're like, not that one.
Yeah, right, right. You're like, I'm doing a giveaway for the one flavor.
Yeah, no, it's so good. You guys should try it.
Like, yeah, you should try it.
But yeah, I love those. That's what I'm on now for sure.
Love it. Very cool. And then what about shoes? What do you like for shoes?
I have a huge rotation of shoes. Like, so I've always like had like a couple, because just from, I think it's more like environmentally, which sounds weird, but like I have always lived somewhere where like the shoes could get really wet, you know? And I'm like, I need to not run in wet shoes. That's nasty. So I'd have at least like two pair of the same shoe. So my like first love after that Saucony Ride 3, which I loved. And I think I did like the next few iterations of the shoe, but that's when I learned how the shoes would change so much.
I know, I hate that.
That was very upsetting to me. But then I got onto Brooks and I wore like Brooks Pure Flow, which were like the best shoes. If you look at like all my first 10 marathons, always in a Brooks Pure Flow. But then they went away and I was sad.
I don't know if I know the Pure Flow.
No. So that series went away. But there's a new one that's like the Glycerin Flex, which I have not tried yet because currently I have so many different shoes. But my favorite right now, I think, is I went back to Brooks recently. So my favorite trainer is a Brooks Hyperion Max 3.
Oh, I love those. Yeah.
They are incredible. I ran Philly in the 2, and then I like, after that, got the 3. I really love the Hyperion Max, but I also run in. When I ran Philly, I was ambassador for the Philadelphia Marathon, and one of the major brand sponsors was Asics, and so we got the Asics Nova Blast 5, which are great as well. I'm a neutral runner, so those are perfect for me. I run in about the Adidas Boston 12. I have not tried the 13, but yeah, I have a lot. I run in a lot of shoes, but I last week found out that the Adidas Evo SL, which I've heard is like the number one recommended like neutral, they were like crazy on sale on the Adidas website. So I got a pair for $105.
I got some too.
What color did you get? I got the hot pink.
Oh, I love that. This is my third time buying the Evo SLs. This is not like, I'm not sponsored by Adidas at all, but I just like, I found a shoe that I love. I'm available for sponsorship. But I was a Brooks girl for a long time. We're totally going into a shoe corner. That's going to be fine. But yeah, I was a Brooks girl for a long time. I love the Hyperion Maxes. I did a couple marathons in the Glycerins and I love those. I didn't love the Glycerin Maxes. They were a little like, toll for me, so I I love just the regular Glycerins. But then I switched to the Evo SLs. I don't know what it is about the foam, but the foam feels like nothing I've ever tried before.
I'm excited. Great.
Yeah, I do. I will say I have had to put inserts in them because you said you have neutral, so but I have pretty high arches and the inserts are like really thin and tiny. So that's like been my only recommendation for people that don't love them right off the bat. But you keep me posted on how you like them.
Tuesday, they're coming on Tuesday.
Love. I got the, this last time I got the, just the white and the gold. It's just the classic, but Yeah.
Nice.
Very cool. Well, yeah, keep me posted on that, on those, how you like them.
I'm so excited.
Cool. Well, I know you've got a race that you just started training for coming up pretty soon. You want to talk about what you're training for now?
Sure. Yeah. So I am going to be doing the Cleveland Marathon in May. I decided recently that I'm trying to go for 50 states, but like slowly. I'm not like on that, like, let's get it done in how many years? Because
yeah,
my like, when everyone asks me, what is your running goal? My running goal is to like always run, just keep running, no matter what pace it is. What if I'm running races, that's great. But just, you know, being able to keep getting out there. So it might take me, you know, a billion years. It's fine. You know, it's fine. I did the majors. It took me 9 years to get all the majors done. I'm not like,
yeah,
I never want to like talk down on anyone, but like the whole like idea of like getting everything done in like 1 year, like that is too much.
It's too much.
That's
bonkers. I totally agree.
That's like a different lifestyle than mine. So, you know, that's fine if that works for you, but yeah it's going to take me forever. But Ohio, I've never been to Ohio. So I've never been to Cleveland. I think it's my 13th state for a marathon. So I'm very excited about it. And we're going to do like the little challenge, like the 5K and the marathon. So.
Very fun. Very cool. Well, before we wrap, I am curious, because you've ran so many marathons, like how do you set goals? How do you decide like what the next goal post is for you? I know, I love that you anchor on like, I just always want to keep running, but like, yeah, how do you decide on what the next thing is for you typically?
Sure. Yeah. A lot of times it'll be kind of like, if I'm doing the race on my own, then I'm like, okay, so I will figure out, is this a time-based goal or is this just a like here for the vibes goal, you know?
Yeah.
And once I figure that out, and it can change, you know, like if you're thinking it's going to be a relaxed race, but then like your training is going awesome, then that's fine. You can pivot.
Yes. Yeah.
You can change your plan. I've run Boston 3 times. Been very grateful to be able to do that. So, you know, it's always great to maybe do another BQ, but I'm like, it's not like my top priority anymore. So I don't, you know, I'm like, I don't need to, you know, knock myself out in a marathon. that's fine. Like that was such an amazing moment in time for me, like my first BQ, but like just being out there, I can't, like the second someone actually does express that they are interested in running a marathon, it's, I try so hard to explain that feeling when like the gun goes off on marathon day and you're like, I'm here, I made it here. And what happens for the next few hours is like, it's almost selfish because you're like, this is for me and this is what I'm doing. No one can take this away from me, this moment, you know, and just whether it's whether you're having a hard time or a happy time or whatever it is, you're like, it's almost like the world is like moving and you're in your own little bubble, you know? And
yeah.
And I think that's why I keep going back to the marathon. Like it is my favorite distance. Like I remember recently I watched one of your reels that you were talking about, like last year you did more marathons than half marathons. Like,
yeah.
In my like complete like running history, I've done more marathons than half marathons, which
yeah,
I think, and it's close. I think it's like, I think I've done like 41 half marathons, but like a half marathon is great. I think it's an incredible distance, but sometimes 100%. I'm running a half and I'm like, oh, I'm done now.
Yeah. Oof. That didn't quite scratch the itch.
I'm like, did I have ran faster? Like, oh
yeah.
Just the marathon. It's just, it's very special. And you know, I'm currently doing my training with one of my favorite running partners. Her name is Nancy. She's training for London. So we just ran this morning. We ran 13. And I told her that I was going to talk to you today. And it was like so cute because I think like the running community is like so fun and like supportive. Like she's like, oh my God, I love her show. She's like, what are you going to talk about? And she's like, let me ask you a few questions. And you know, and it's just,
oh my gosh, just like I love it.
It's just such a vibe. You know, when people get it, they get it, you know?
Yeah.
I just want people to like be in this, like, please join us if you want to. If you want to.
Yes. And you said something I think really important before, which was like, you're going to find your little corner of the internet. That's going to be like your people. You know, there's so many, like the running community is so fast now, for better, or for worse, right? Like there's definitely some corners that are maybe not so awesome, but like they're at the same time that there's so many amazing people out there that are going to support you and love you. And you just have to keep putting yourself out there and find those people. But once you do, like stick with those people.
It's so cool. It's like, you know, you're like, you're in your little clubhouse, you know?
Yeah. I love
it. Hanging out together, talking about like, instead of like, what did you do today? I'm like, what did you run today? Let's talk about shoes. Let's talk about shoes for like hours.
Yeah. I love it. It's so great. Well, Chrissy, thank you so much. This was so much fun. I loved having you on. I said it before we started filming, but we've known each other kind of parasocially for a long time. So I'm glad we got a chance to hear your story and chit chat a little bit. But looking forward to seeing you crush Cleveland this year. That'll be so awesome. And looking forward to seeing these other goals that you have coming up for you. If anybody wants to follow along with you, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram. I post every single day and my hashtag, I just realized this. It's hilarious, actually. So it's at Chrissy M. Murphy. And I'm like, so I guess maybe that I like just kind of set this all up by putting my full name on my first marathon shirt. Because everybody, like when people come up to me, they don't say, hey, Chrissy. They're like, hey, Chrissy Murphy.
It's like one name.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm down with that. So it's easy to remember.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I will make sure to put it in the show notes as well so people can find you. But thank you again for coming on. This was awesome.
Yes, thank you so much, Day.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the My First Marathon Podcast. For more stories, tips, and resources, head to myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. And if you want access to bonus episodes, exclusive resources, and extra support for your training, make sure you check out the community at myfirstmarathonpodcast.com/exclusives. You can also follow along with us on socials, Instagram and TikTok. That's at My First Marathon Pod. If you want to follow along with my personal journey, that's at tay.says. Whether you're training, recovering, or just thinking about signing up, you belong here. I'm so excited that you're here, and we'll see you on the next one.